2, and I'm reading from verse 13. Is it 13? No, 18. I'm reading from verse 18. Dear children, oh, beautiful. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that, the Antichrist is coming. Who is coming? How many of you know this? How many of you like this guy? Do you like this guy? Nobody likes him, but he's there. Whether you like it or not, he's there. Right? So he says, the last hour has come, and you have to, you heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is plural. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But whenever you see in the Bible, whenever you read Bible, whenever you come across but and if, you need to stop. Because there is a division. What is that? There is a division. Now the division comes. The division says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever knows, whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for us, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeits, just as it has taught you, remains in you. May the Lord bless this word. May the Lord bless this word. Dear children, it's a beautiful addressing. In this second chapter, three times he uses this word, dear children, because John loves us. The reason why John loves us, because he has love of God in him. When you have love of God, the number one character you have, that you will love every person whom God has created in his own image. You will love every person who is created in God's image. There is no tribe. There's no nation you will hate. But you will have love for each and every person. And God has created us to love each other. The character of God is love, agape. It's not philo or eros. It is agape love, the sacrificing love. Dear children, let me tell you that this is the last hour. That means we are at the end. The last hour is we are at the end. Now, 2,000 years back he wrote, and now today he is speaking to us, and he says, the time is finished, we are at the end, because there is a person who has come. There are people who have come who are the followers of this person. And this person's name is? What is his name? Antichrist. That's a little harsh. Antichrist. You know, interlinear Bible, when you go into the original Greek language, the word is chrisma, which means instead. The meaning of anti Christ means instead. Instead. That's a good word. Instead. That means somebody substituting for you. It's a word meaning substitute. And when you look to the word anti means opposite, against. But here, in the Greek, when they have used that there is a substitute man who is anointed. Substitute anointed person. Wow. We need to think about this person. We need to think about this person. Because that's what is said in the original text, in the Greek language. In Greek language, it's used that instead, that means this is a person who substitutes Jesus Christ. There is a substitute who's going to substitute Jesus Christ. In the last days, he is going to come. He has come already. He has come. When you read chapter 12 of Revelation, you will understand what the Bible is speaking to us. He's already come here. And you know, before that, Jesus has proclaimed. Jesus has said in his own words that I am going, John chapter. Let's go to John. These are the words of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14. I will not speak with you much longer. John chapter 14 and verse 30. I will not speak to you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. Who is coming? Prince of this world. Now Christ has given him a title. And that title is, the Antichrist is called Prince of this world. Who is he called? Prince of this world. And therefore, you know, when we read Bible, Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted, this guy comes to him and he goes to the pinnacle. He takes him to the pinnacle on the top and says, you know, the whole world is given to me. The whole world is given to me. Can you please bow before me? You want something. When you want something, what you will do? You will bow for everything. But Christ never wanted anything from this world except you and for me. And for that reason, he has come to die. He never came for this world. He came for you and for me, whom he has created in his own image. We are created in the image of God. How many of you know that somebody came to Jesus and said, should we pay tax to Caesar? How many of you know this story? Ah, amen. Somebody came to Jesus and said, Jesus, should we pay tax to Caesar? And Jesus said, show me the coin. And this guy was very happy to show the coin to Jesus. And he says, take this coin. He says, oh. He returned it and said, whose image is on this coin? And that guy said, it's this Caesar's image. Render what belongs to Caesar and give what belongs to God. In other words, he says, let me take you to Genesis chapter 1 and remind you that God created you in his own image and you have a seal on you, the image of God. Therefore, render Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give yourself to God. Amen. We belong to God. We belong to God. We are the property of the living God. We are the property of the living God. And John is saying, be careful, this guy is going to come. Now you know what happens when this guy comes? This guy is going to come because this guy has been given two things. Number one, he's given authority. Number two, he's given power. What do you want in your life? If you have power and authority, you have everything. Let's go to the 13th chapter of Revelation. Revelation 13th chapter. If I hear the pages sound, I will be very happy because you have your Bibles with you. Revelation chapter 13. Now here, John is addressing him not as Antichrist, but he says the beast. He uses that word beast, that which means But they both are same. Beast and Antichrist is same. He says, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words. Verse 5. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority. And to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. He was given power. He was given power. He was given authority. And therefore, Jesus is talking to us. Jesus is warning to us in chapter 24 of Matthew. He says, I'm going. The false prophets will be coming into this world. The false guys are going to coming into this world. Even the elected will be deceived. Just because you read your Bible and pray, it doesn't mean to say that you are strong in the Lord. Just because you come to church, it doesn't mean to say that you are strong in the Lord. There are two words. Accepting Jesus Christ and committing to Jesus Christ, these two words are very different words. Accepting Jesus Christ, that means you have accepted him and asked him to come into your life. You made it. You have given permission to come into your life. Accepting Jesus Christ is asking Jesus to come into your life. You're asking Jesus to come into your life with one condition. Jesus, you're welcomed in my life. You're welcomed in my heart. But Jesus, you need to listen to me what I say. You cannot do what you want in my life because I accepted you, Jesus. So you need to do what I say to you. You get my point? You know, if you go and rent a house, the owner gives you a chart. These things you cannot do in this house because this house belongs to me, but you can live in this house as long as you pay me cash or you pay me money. Accepting Jesus Christ is allowing him to come with a condition saying that, Jesus, you can live in me, but you can have to listen to me. You have to listen to me. How many of you do that? Most of us, we do. Because we want to serve God according to our convenience. When you serve God according to your convenience, you have accepted Christ, my friends, and you become a dictator to your own living God. Committing to Christ. Come all he that labor, I will give you rest. He says, commit yourself to me. When you commit, you say, Lord, you are my God. You are the owner. I am the tenant. Because this body is the temple of the living God. He has to be the owner, not a tenant. He has to be the owner, not a tenant. The prince of this world is going to come. He is given authority to deceive people. The elected one. The elected one. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. If you're there, say amen. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. For false Christ, that means anointed, and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive, even the elected, even the chosen people, he will deceive. He will deceive the people. And Paul is writing in 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter, he describes and he calls him not the Antichrist, not the beast, or the prince of this world, but he gives another name, and that name is lawless person. That means sinful person. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And reading from verse 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion person, the rebellion occurs, and the man of lawless person, sinner, will appear. The law of the lawless person is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God. You know, many times people, they are interested in miracles. Many times people are interested in healing. You know, if there is a healing prayer going on, a lame person or a blind person or a diseased person runs to this healing meeting to get healed. But a broken family, the relationship between husband and wife, they will not go to this meeting. But Jesus came to heal the brokenness, to heal the relationship of you and me, because we have fallen from the presence of God. That is real healing. Your body may perish, but when you are straight in your spirit, you'll be with God forever. This man will be revealed. This man will perform so many good things. This man will do everything to grab your attention. We all needed change. 2008, we all needed change. People were mesmerized. And everybody said, oh, there's a great change coming into United States. After 4 years, they said, no great change, man. Boom. Politically, this man will be good. Authority-wise, this man will be good. He knows how to grab your attention. He knows how to bifurcate your attention from God. He knows how to grab. He knows what is your interest in God. He knows. And therefore, Jesus is warning even the elect, the chosen people, will not be in balance. They will not understand this guy very much. You know, we all talk about cross. How many of you know there are two crosses in this world? How many of you know? Anybody knows there are two crosses? Anybody knows? If not, I will explain to you. We all know about one cross, right? And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's a good cross. You need to know that even Satan also has a cross. Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, he is an angel of light. He puts on a mask. He imitates Jesus Christ. So he knows what Jesus has. He knows how Jesus died on the cross. And he would love to deceive you and me. So he also has a cross. And as soon as people, when they see cross, they would love to run to that cross. Not looking at who is holding that cross. And what does this cross teaches you? But what is the difference between the cross of Jesus Christ and cross of Satan? The cross of Jesus Christ teaches us to die for others. The cross of Satan teaches us to kill others for our sake. Jesus died for you and for me. That is the cross of Jesus Christ. But Satan crucifies people for his own pleasure. Which cross you want? Which cross you want? Which cross you're holding? Jesus says, deny yourself and take up your cross and come with me. Many times we are following Christ but holding the cross of Satan. We are holding his cross, my friends. That's the reason we work according to our own convenience for the ministry of God. This guy is a deceiver. He will deceive us. But the word of God says he's a substitute. What is he? He's a substitute. The word substitute is instead. He is not. You know, sometimes you, when you work the night shift, you substitute for so-and-so person, right? When you substitute, then you will say that, oh, I'm substituting for so-and-so person. But this guy will not tell that I'm substituting for Jesus Christ. He will never disclose. He's a substitute guy. He says, I have power, I have authority, therefore I want to exalt myself above God. I am God. And you will say that, what is the proof that you are God? Miracles, healing, everything is going to take place. And you and I will be deceived. But there is only one substitute, my friends. There's only one substitute for you and for me. If you want to understand the word substitute, Genesis chapter 22, the story of Abraham and Isaac. God said to Abraham, Abraham, do you love me? Abraham said, Lord, I love you more than anything. Abraham, do you love me? He says, Lord, I love you. I love you more than Isaac, God. Oh, you love me more than Isaac? I want a proof. What is that, God? I want your son to be sacrificed. Abraham said, oh, I'm going to do it. He takes his son, 3 days' journey to Mount Moriah. And God says, I'm going to show you a place. Take him to that place and offer him. He takes, before going to the mountain place, Abraham tells his servants, we are going to go to the mountains and sacrifice and we will come back. That is the language of faith. Language of faith, he says, we are going to come back. We, he used the plural word, we are going to come back. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and looked at the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead. That's the word. Instead. In other words, as a substitute for his son, Isaac. The substitute for his son Isaac was a ram provided by God. That is the figurative of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 29. John is saying, behold the Lamb of God, who will take away the sins of this world, is coming.
Leviticus chapter 23, God says that every day you will sacrifice lamb morning and evening to make them to understand that for everything there should be a bloodshed. The blood represents the life of the person. Every day, morning and evening, there was a bloodshed. Every day, morning and evening, the priest used to offer sacrifice, lamb, morning and evening. John says, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of this world, had come. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus had come as a lamb, Passover lamb. He came as a Passover lamb. Corinthians. Second Corinthians. It's the First Corinthians, sorry. Verse 5:7. In that he says, Jesus, being our Passover lamb, was offered for you and for me. Jesus is our substitute. But let me tell you something. John also tells us that when this guy comes, when he deceives us, he used that word, dear children, you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. We have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, not to be deceived by these things, but to believe in God. We are all anointed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who died on the cross and shed his blood, and he was victorious, and that victory has been given to you and me. We are victorious in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God who died for us, instead of us, substituted for us. The turn the wrath of God, propitiation. He turned the wrath of God from us. You know, many times people imagine that we are under the clutches of Satan. Satan is holding us and, you know, we cannot get out of from this guy. Many times we think about that. Now let me give you an illustration so that you will understand, because the youth is here, right? So I would love to give you an illustration that you will have in your mind. Okay? Look at me. If you have your papers, if you are writing, write this, draw. There are three people. On the right side is Jesus Christ. On the left side is Satan. In the middle is your creator, God. The three people. Now what happened is God created us in his own image, and we were created in the image of God, and God loved us so much. And this guy saw us, and he was so jealous. When this guy saw us and so jealous, he comes and tempts Adam and Eve. And you know, Adam and Eve were tempted, and they have fallen into sin by disobeying God's law. Now when they have disobeyed, this guy has taken Adam and Eve with him. And God was very, very angry. What happened to God? God is angry on Adam and Eve. And he turned his face, because God cannot see the sin. God cannot see sin. And therefore, it says in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, when you see, our sins have hidden the face of God. Our sins have hidden the face of God, and God was angry. Who is on the right side? Jesus, and God, Father and Son. They had a conversation and said, I love my children. I want them back. And somebody has to die for him. And my son, you need to go and die. And he says, Dad, that's fine. I'll go and do what you wish for me to do. And Jesus comes and dies. In the second chapter of 1 John, second chapter, when you read the third verse, there is a word which is used, propitiation. The meaning of propitiation is turning the wrath of God, taking away the wrath of God. That means a person who is offended, God was offended and angry, and Jesus had come to take that wrath of God from us, and he sacrificed himself. When the blood of the Lamb was sacrificed for us, the wrath of God was cleared. And through Jesus Christ, the relationship is again made normal. You know what happened? The moment Christ died on the cross of Calvary, this guy who was holding us so tight, as it really is, that's finished. The chains of this Satan is broken and we are relieved. We are relieved. All we have to do, once you're relieved, you're not in his clutches. All you have to do is voluntarily, you need to accept your Savior and walk to your Creator. Because wherever there is Spirit of God, there is freedom. Voluntarily, we need to come into the presence of God. This guy has no hold on you and on me. The chains have been broken. We have been released. But you should have a will to come into the presence of God. And God will never force you to come to him, but he will always invite you. He will always invite you. The substitute, Jesus Christ, has died. Therefore, we have anointing. This anointing teaches us to be in the presence of God. Tonight, as we come into the presence of God, there are two things I would like to ask you. On the right side is Jesus. On the left side is Satan. Whom do you want? Whom do you want to serve? To whom you will say yes in your life? Let's bow down our heads. Dear children, the word says that the hour has come. The deceiver of this world is present. He would love to deceive people. And he's also holding a cross. Which cross you want in your life? If you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are dictating him. But you have committed Jesus, your life to Jesus, you make him Lord. Today I want to ask you, who is your Lord? Who is your God? Who is your Savior? If you say that, Pastor, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want Jesus to be everything in my life. You please stand wherever you are. I would love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. Wherever you are, please stand. I would love to pray for you and say that, Lord, the people who are standing in your presence, that you will make them your children. Give them power to overcome every weakness in their life. If you say, Pastor, please pray for me, stand wherever you are and I'm going to pray for you. Wherever you are, stand. I would love to pray for you. And I invite Pastor Jesse and Pastor Glenn to come forward, please. Pastor, come. As you're standing, there are three pastors who would love to pray for you. The hour has come, my friends. The deceiver is very ferocious. He loved to deceive everybody. But the substitute, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself, who came onto this earth, has died for you and for me. As we prepare ourselves for the Holy Communion, this is the time for us to fall in the presence of God and say that, Lord, whatever weakness I have, take it away from me. Let me not practice it in my life, but give me power to overcome. Because all power on earth and heaven has been given to Christ, and that power He has given to us. We have that power. And today, as you stand in the presence of God, I'll ask the pastors to pray for you, please. Can everybody pray for you? Let's just pray. Yeah, just pray.
God, each and every person standing here, Lord, who is opening themselves for more of you, Lord, we pray for more. We pray for more, Lord God. We pray that they will never, ever make a stand that will keep them from you, Lord. We pray that the only thing that will ever, ever be between us and you, God, is Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray for things that are in our lives, as Hebrews say, the things that entangle our ankles, things that entangle our feet, make us stumble. Lord, I pray that those things will be removed and that we will walk away from those and toward the cross. We will walk away from the things that bind us down and walk to the one that sets us free, that we walk away from the things that are strongholds and to you, where there is freedom and life and grace. We pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. And God, I do pray for those of us that have not entered into particular places in our lives with you, Lord, that you would usher us there today, Lord. God, I pray that those of us that have never experienced the gifts of your Spirit, that they will be unleashed in our lives tonight, Lord God. I pray for those of us that have not experienced a move of your Spirit, that would be unleashed in our lives tonight. And we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for those of us that have never experienced a worship experience with you in spirit and in truth, that would unleash in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Lord, tonight,